Welcome to the In Hope Podcast, where each Monday we drop a new episode talking about how we can strengthen the unity of the body of Christ. This is your host, Preach. Let's see what we have for you today. All right, Brian. So just finished hanging out with the youth. Wanted to have you on the podcast and just talk a little bit. Brian, you are part of the In Hope ministry. But please just go ahead, introduce yourself, a little bit of your background, and what you do now as far as ministry.
Yeah, well, my name is Brian Salayandia, weird last name. I've been in ministry. I got the calling when I was 21, but I'm not so big with titles, but the title was given by when I was 24. So, and I'm 27 now, so I've been doing it for quite a few years now. I was called to the pastoral ministry and leadership ministry, and I've been a youth pastor for a few years now, young adult pastor as well, and help lead and start One Ministries, which is in Hope, and helping out preach right here, just in Hope, and everything that when it comes to unity of the church, Big C Church, and how we could do better, little by steps. But right now, I'm over here at Homedale AG, Assembly of God, as the youth and young adult pastor. So
nice.
And now we got Pastor Ivory walking in.
Hey, how's it going, Pastor Ivory?
Happy John.
Yes.
And we're doing a podcast right now.
Yeah.
If you want to sit down.
Oh.
It's all good.
Would you like to introduce yourself and hang out for a little bit?
I guess I can. For a second.
Yeah, no, go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm Pastor Ivor, and just that's about all I can say for Homedale Assembly of God. So,
all right. So we were talking about Jesus being the bread of life tonight. And we were looking at John chapter 6, and there was a few points in there that I thought would be interesting to discuss with a focus on unity. Mm-hmm. So one of those very first things was in verse 29. So again, this is John chapter 6 and looking at verse 29. And as I said tonight, Brian, you know this because you've probably heard me say this so many times, but I always like to say that I believe following Jesus is the simplest, most difficult thing you'll ever do. Mm-hmm. He doesn't make it complicated. You don't have to do the mental gymnastics. There's not, red tape on how to figure out this or that. Very straightforward. I mean, you can look even in the scriptures down to that simplest call of follow me. Literally, what we're trying to do is follow his lifestyle, the way that he lived, and do what he did. He gave us the model, and we're just trying to follow it. So it's simple, the idea of following Jesus, the call towards Christianity. Love God, love people, summed up in that, right? But if you've ever tried to love people, you know that's not always easy. Simply put, right, it's this simple concept of, okay, we're just going to love, but it's difficult. Something you have to live out every day. And I think it's the same thing when it comes to unity.
Yeah,
I would say unity is a simple yet difficult concept when it comes to Christianity. You think of all the different calls that there are to unity all throughout Scripture. And you see it literally from all the way back in Genesis, all the way to Revelations. You see time and time again just this emphasis on this idea of unity, people being on one accord, people being in sync and in alignment with God and with one another. But time and time again, we see the difficulty of that. What are some of the things that you would say, before I just go on a tangent, what would you say are some of the things that make unity difficult?
Well, I actually did, I think it was the first young adult retreat I did where you could you couldn't make it. I believe 2020 it was.
Okay.
I was alone. I was in
COVID years. Yes. The dark ages.
And I did a devotion on that, and I said the exact same thing. I was like, this is part of one of the easier sermons I could have, like, really come mm-hmm. out with. It's all through scripture.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was the hardest thing because we don't see the action.
Mm.
And that's the hard thing. Like, we see the call, we hear the preaching, we see the books, Francis Chan with Intel Unity.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we see the books, everything talking about, like, this is a calling, this is what God said.
Mm-hmm.
But it's difficult because we don't see the action. We don't see that being put in play. And like how you talked about today,
yeah.
works.
Yeah.
Like you don't work your way into heaven, but mm-hmm. you still got to work for Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus called us to, oh, there's a mosquito. Yeah. And I think that's a difficult thing as a leader, and all three of us are leaders,
yeah,
is
yeah.
that we put in the work, but we don't see the congregation, the church, putting in the work. Mm. And I think that's hard on leaders. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It could take a mental strain because you're calling. And, but like we are, of course, we're holding on tight to the Lord. And that's
yeah.
He's the one who's giving us strength. And I think that's one of the most difficult things for as a leader. When I was not a leader, I remember even talking to you about it.
Yeah.
Like it's all through scripture. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And like, why aren't my peers seeing the hunger? Why aren't they seeing the holiness, how we talked about today as
yeah,
well?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Since God said it so many times, we should treat it as holy.
Mm.
Of being united, of being forgiving of others, of yeah. Calling people out on their sins, not because like to forgive, it, but for there to be unity.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because if you're not in one accord with God, you're going to cause division.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's just a few things when it comes to the difficulties.
Yeah.
Of trying to have unity within the church.
Yeah. No, yeah. Seeing others practice that unity, put in the effort toward that unity, it can be really difficult to beat that drum when you feel like no one's listening.
Mm.
It can be really difficult to keep marching down that path if you feel like no one's walking with you.
Mm.
Especially because it takes multiple people to actually be in unity, right? If you're just going by yourself, then, I mean, I guess you can be in unity with yourself. But that the idea is for us to be in unity with one another. So, yeah, I can definitely see that being a hurdle to unity kind of picking up that momentum carrying on.
Because when we see, like, I think I mentioned it to you, Pierre, about, like, how we see these other organizations that are outside church, and how they're so strong, it's because they're linking arms.
Yeah.
And for the wrong reasons.
But yeah,
they're strong. Because
right?
they're on one accord. Why can't the church, who God has called us to,
yeah.
do that?
Well, I mean, that brings up such a good point, because, again, you see in scripture this idea that unity is very much intertwined with this concept of holiness. Mm-hmm. Because holiness has this concept of, I always like to emphasize this idea of being set apart. But in that, one of the reasons why, you know, God is holy and holy, holy, holy is because he is whole within himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't need anything else outside of himself. Mm-hmm. He is whole within himself. And part of this concept of unity is us growing in wholeness together. As a body, mm-hmm. a member cannot be whole by itself. The finger cannot be whole by itself. Mm-hmm. The toe cannot be whole by itself. But when we're in unity, there is a wholeness that happens. And then there is a display of unity when you see, or there's a display of holiness when you see unity as God has called us to it.
Mm.
But even in that, underlying, and a couple weeks ago, you know, we talked about even in the idea of unity in prayer and the emphasis of prayer, and realizing that prayer in itself is the goal, like being with God, that is the result we're looking for. Mm-hmm. That is the benefit. We're not looking for returns from it as much as that is the purpose, is to be with God and be in communion mm-hmm. with him. But similarly with unity, it's what we're called to. Mm-hmm. So if we're called to that, then just reaching that in itself should be enough right? Mm-hmm. Pursuing that and walking in that should be enough, because then it's walking in obedience to God. Mm-hmm. But with that aside, just like with prayer, there are other benefits to it. Amazingly, right? Mm-hmm. There's other benefits to it, as is with most things with God. There's, you know, there's always multiple things that come from it. And you can see people, like you said, in the world capitalizing on some of those benefits. Mm-hmm. One of the most notorious examples is, you know, the Tower of Babel. They were all in unity, right? Mm-hmm. And God was like, nothing is going to be outside of their reach. Nothing is going to be impossible for them. They can do anything when they're on one accord like mm-hmm. this. And like you said, you see that within the secular world now. Organizations coming together, linking arms, accomplishing more things because they're linking arms and they're walking in unity. We need to see more of that within the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. The body of Christ really should be leading the charge and should be wholly set apart in this practice of unity.
No, I completely agree. I know we've been talking about one accord and things like that.
We've been talking about unity for a long time. You know, you can't have a relationship and an intimate relationship with God without unity.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't be absent of it. I mean, so it has to be a personal relationship that you have also with Him. But the church is called to that personal relationship within itself because it's the body of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to be the bride of Christ, then we have to have that intimate unity with Him. And it starts with Christ. Mm. It starts with Him. But it also comes together where it's all of us intertwining with each other.
Yeah.
We talk about it like being a rope where we're braided together is stronger than when we're not. When we're all separate strands of a little grass, we can't make a bridge.
No.
But when we're all intertwined and united together, we become like that rope bridge that is so strong that a vehicle can even go across, right?
Yeah.
So we can't separate unity in the church, but yet there's been a division of not wanting to come together in the church. There's a very small percentage that are the laborers. That's why Christ says the harvest is there. It's ripe, right? It's ready, but the laborers are few. So that's why we're supposed to be praying for it. But the thing is, the laborers aren't just specific people only. It's like the whole body has to be a part of that. And when the body can unify like that, the church is unstoppable.
Yeah.
You know, the power of God that will move in a church that is unified. And I believe that God's calling us as a church to become that again, to really become that bright, to all of us to have our lamps full.
Yeah.
So we're ready to when He calls. But also, man, there's so much loss out there. So why are we unified to show the glory if we really believe that we've been changed and that He's all in all and that He's given us new life? Why wouldn't we want to share that and be and unify others to come alongside, you know? But it is, like you said, it's hard when, you know, it's only a few. You feel very lonely
if
people aren't unified with you to go ahead and fight this battle. I mean, it is a battle that we're called to, but it's a battle already that we've won.
Yeah.
In Him.
Come on now.
Like, this is the easiest battle that you could ever fight.
Exactly.
You
know? It's a guaranteed victory. It's guaranteed.
There's
right?
nothing else in life that's guaranteed like this.
Yeah.
And there's no promise ever given like this. And there's never a gift that anybody, any man, any business, any amount of money or riches could ever give that could to equal this, you know, that can give eternal life. And it's so we have something so special. It is kind of sad, though, that again, that we're not all coming together like that.
Yeah.
The great thing is that God could use the few that are unified to do such a mighty, mighty work in Him. And then, you know, and in our hope and the promise that He has for us and that remnant in that small group, that we will unify others to come and finally see, okay, yeah. And again, I think the church has been talking too much and not doing. And so because we're not doing and not being doers of His word and not being a representative of who He is in our own lives, we're fine in Sundays. We're fine on Wednesdays, you know, because we're special holy when we come Wednesday. but, you know, holiness is an everyday walk. It's in everything in your life. It's in your home life, to your job, to whatever you're doing. And if we're not unified and we're not coming together like that, being acting it out, not in a false way, but in a real way, obtainable, grab a hold of you way. Grab a hold of the hem of your garment and you actually, you feel the presence of God because you're Christ. You're an ambassador of Christ.
Yeah. Yep.
You represent him in this world. I mean, how honored should we be?
Exactly.
We should just be honored. Yeah. That's just what we want to be all the moments of our life because, to be honest with you, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. I think one of the biggest and greatest tricks of Satan himself and the enemy is this, and I hate giving him credit, but he's been very good at dividing the church and not saying that you can unify like this. Mm-hmm. Oh, you have to be divided. Oh, this hate this, this hate that. Mm-hmm. Oh, you can't be. Oh, there's different denomination. There's different denomination. What happened to that? Why are we not just being followers of Christ, like you said in the beginning? Well, I came in the beginning. it's simple as saying, follow me. But if you're not united with him, you're not sold out. You're not going to stop what you're doing to just go ahead and follow him. I even talked about that Sunday, though, too.
Yeah.
I said, how awesome was Christ that he could just come. He didn't know these guys, or he knew them, but they didn't know him. And they just said, he says, follow me. And they stopped what they were doing and followed him.
Right.
There had to be a presence. There had to be something that it just grabbed. And the thing is, it's that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that obviously already something was stirring. Something was already happening. But there was that's unification though, right?
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit's already moving on the behalf of the Father, on behalf of the Son. And he's going ahead and he's going and working it so he could come together and bring us to follow him.
Yeah.
It's already working. That's the thing is that people are too afraid to unify because they don't realize the power of who our God is.
Yeah.
They don't realize that he's already sent his Holy Spirit to already set up your footsteps and set up the path and work on that person's heart before you even got there.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And then so it's all this fear tactic that comes in. Yeah. See, it's a problem when you get pastors talking. You just start talking.
No, you're good. You're good. So something that came to my mind is just even as you were talking. So first of all, just that idea that when Jesus was calling his disciples, there being that presence and there being a work already happening on their end, it automatically, my mind had to jump immediately to Nathaniel. Just how they came together. And you see the same thing also with Peter and, Andrew runs into Jesus and then he goes and tells Peter and then Jesus ends up coming in contact with Peter. And so he kind of had this briefing already. And then you see with Nathaniel, this idea that God was already stirring, doing something in Nathaniel's life, meeting him in some way. And then that way, when Philip came and grabbed him, was Philip thinking, I'm about to change this guy's life? I mean, you never know just how little Philip may have thought of what he was doing and inviting Nathaniel, maybe not knowing what was coming from it, right? But just that invite, him pulling him in and the change that it brought to Nathaniel's life, the encounter that happened. I love that. I don't know if you guys have ever seen The Chosen, but they actually do this scene where Philip brings Nathaniel to Jesus and all of a sudden him and Jesus start having that exchange. And Nathaniel immediately is like, you're the Christ. And Philip is just kind of in awe. He's like, what? Yeah. Because he doesn't get how just that little exchange went all the way there. But again, it's that idea that God is already working on that end. And so we need to do our part, no matter how little that might be, and just kind of bring those pieces together. I feel like we were touching on that idea of, there's so many lost out there and realizing that God is working elsewhere as well. I really feel like it touches on this idea of a scarcity mindset. We were talking about the manna and how some would go unused because people thought there may not be enough tomorrow, right? Mm. Something that I feel like really does plague the church when it comes to unity is the scarcity mindset that puts us into competition with one another.
Mm.
as if there's not enough unsaved people to go around. And maybe it's because we thinking about the few saved people there are and holding on to those, when that really shouldn't be what it's about. It should be, look, we have millions of unsaved people around us, right? I think here in the Treasure Valley, I guess it's, you know, we have hundreds of thousands of unsaved people around us that all the churches could not hold if they were all to turn and go to church anyway. So there is no scarcity. If we could push past, and there's other scarcities too. There's scarcity in time. There's scarcity in funding. There's scarcity in, you know, all these different things that may limit us from walking in unity. But really it's a scarcity mindset, not so much that we are lacking in those things. What are your thoughts there?
I think we could just look in the entire New Testament, even in the book of Acts, of that mentality that they had. There were a few, and out of those few, 3,000 came and just the name Pentecost. And then out of those 3,000, we know that the church just exploded from there was wildfire that happened there, because they were not reaching the holy or the holy of thous. They were reaching the lost. And how we were talking about the Holy Spirit is already preparing the hearts to receive this. And even this afternoon, I was in my Launchpad class teaching about morality and how every human being does have an objective morality in their heart, because that's a fingerprint, that's a evidence of a creator, that who created good and bad, right and wrong, like, you know, who tells us how it is. Everybody in human nature, we know, wants to know the truth. So, but again, they're ready, but the church, the few saved, they're not doing the works. They get stuck in that, like you explained it so well, and that we're gonna lose our saved people. If we're gonna lose them to another church, that means God's gonna use them for something greater. Isn't the church still winning? So why are we so scared? And shouldn't we be doing the actions that the Great Commission preach the gospel? Again, simple. Make disciples. That could be a little bit more tricky. Make disciples. But preaching the gospel should be the easiest thing, talking about Jesus, what he did for you and your personal testimony, and then what he did 2,000 years ago on the cross. If he's truly your savior, he should be so, like, the easiest person to talk about. To non-believers, to believers, whoever. And it should be that simple.
And I think it's simple, and what makes it difficult is the fear. What makes it difficult is the fear of not saying it right, the fear of speaking, the fear of, you know, quote unquote, getting things wrong in our explanation. But I really, really would just encourage anyone who's challenged with that it doesn't need to be fanciful. It doesn't need to be this great eloquent thing. Just in the simplest way, sharing how Jesus has loved you, has saved you, in the however it is you may be able to put that, God can use that. I like to say that he can do more with our feeble efforts than we can do with the most precise and eloquent giftings. It's kind of like, I keep on using this example, but it's kind of like with a tithe, in that, you know, we believe he can do more with the 90% than we can do with the 100. If we're willing to even just give him a penny, he can take that farther than we could go with a $100 bill. It's being willing to give him that, even that little bit, and just let him make work of it. And sometimes it's not an immediate thing. You know, you're not going to see the immediate fruit from it. I've talked to so many people where their attempts at doing different things in ministry was failure after failure after failure after failure before they started seeing fruit from that. But all the way they were being faithful. And that's what they were called to. They were called to the faithfulness. God will bring the fruit in time. You just need to be faithful.
I think the word that we fit perfectly with that was Investment is a long-term thing.
Yes.
And when we're investing into these people's lives, just like loving on them, they messed up. Or like, they're like, oh, I don't know if I could continue hearing about this, but you're still there. Just continue giving.
Yeah.
Not just tithing, but giving it your time to speak to them, giving your time to open your ears to their problems, giving your time to just sit down if they need a shoulder to cry on. It's all an investment. It's spiritual investment, in other words.
And it's storing treasure. Treasure. Yeah.
And in the long run, it's not us who's doing the miracles. It is God.
Yeah.
We're sent here to obey with a willing heart. To continue doing it, and he's the one who's going to change the
yeah.
He's the one who's going to do the impossible.
Yeah.
He's the one who had like, well, me, we could talk about our testimony, like the amazing things he did for our lives. But then again, for me, like hearing somebody who knew Christ since they're a little baby and never ran away from him, that's a greater testimony for me. Because what Christ said, like, live like this, I could see it. Somebody was able to live that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, wow.
Exactly.
Exactly. You should not be ashamed of your own, how God used your story, how he's using you, because it's still glorifying him.
Yeah.
So why are you ashamed to glorify him and what he did in your
life? We should rejoice.
Yeah, exactly.
We should rejoice in others, other stories. I love that idea of it's an investment, right? And again, kind of focusing in on that unity piece. We may invest in unity for a good amount of time before we feel like we're seeing the fruit of it.
Yeah.
Right. But it's a worthwhile investment. Mm-hmm. If for nothing else, because God has told us to do it. Like, again, kind of that idea of the ROI, you know, what is the return in this investment into unity? If nothing else, I mean, even if it is a loss in other areas, ask yourself, are those areas that we see God counting or emphasizing in scripture, how he does with unity? Because if not, then the return investment is faithfulness and obedience towards what God is calling us to. The return investment is in following Jesus and his example, which is what we're called to, is to follow him. So, yeah, I think we really need to combat that scarcity mindset.
And that fear.
That fear,
a lot of churches go through. And it's and the Lord, that's another thing. We have to be willing to obey him. And he says, do not live in fear.
Yeah.
And how is the church living? We're in constant fear. Like, is the government going to come in? Are we going to lose congregants? Are we going to say the wrong words? Be willing to what God has called us to. Trust me. We see in scriptures of our heroes of the faith, Moses. He was fearful because he was a stutterer.
Yeah,
but he still was willing to go with the help.
Yeah, with a little push from God.
Yeah, with a little push from God. But he still went willingly, and we can see the great things God used him for.
Yeah,
and we could even look at the 12 disciples when Jesus was arrested.
Yeah,
they were fearful because they all ran away. We know that was fear.
Yeah,
but they came back.
Exactly,
all of them, besides of course Judas.
Yeah.
But they all came back.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, I think that was the investment of the 3 years Jesus had with him.
Yeah.
That, like, there's going to be moments of fear, but like, oh, remember. Remember who he is.
Yeah.
It's all about him.
Yeah.
And I think unity will be like that. And I'm not sure what plant. Is it a bamboo that takes years to water?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Years to...
It shoots out
so fast. And I think that's what will happen when we invest in that unity is that it's water for some time. And then... It's just gonna explode.
But when it sprouts, it's gonna
explode.
Absolutely. I think that you're spot on there. That sometimes that investment is a lot up front. And you know what? I think that's just the way of the kingdom. Ooh. I mean, if we're being honest, that is the way of the kingdom. We see that so often in so many different ways and arenas. We love to focus in on the explosion when the revival happens or when the growth happens or whatever it may be. But there's usually years of investment leading into that that people may not realize were even there. But it wouldn't have happened without those years of investment. And I truly believe that those years of investment are celebrated in heaven just as much, if not more, than the times of explosion and the work that happened right in sync with it. Because that work wouldn't have, I doubt that work would have happened as fruitfully if it wasn't for all of the faithfulness in prayer, all of the faithfulness of investment that led into it.
And you just said that. That reminds me of Elijah. When the time of drought came.
Yeah.
In his time. And then he went up, he prayed, and he prayed. Sometimes he said, like, you might be losing a little bit of hope if you're his servant, like, standing next to him. Like,
yeah.
Is he going to continue? There's nothing.
Yeah.
But he was faithful.
Exactly.
And then, like, it says from afar.
Oh, yeah.
The size of a fist, boom, it's like there was a little cloud.
Yep.
He's like, you better go.
Exactly.
That rain is coming.
Right.
And that was the faithfulness.
That was. Absolutely. Because
even, like, we know so many believers who's like, I pray for rain, but there's a little cloud. What is that?
Yeah.
Like, we want the skies to be full of clouds.
Before we believe it's coming. Yeah.
My Elijah was like, oh, you better run.
Yep.
That's coming quick.
Uh-huh.
That was the faith.
Man, come on now. Like, if we could really rejoice and believe God is on the move when we see just a little fist in the sky rather than waiting for the storm to be completely upon us.
Yeah.
Come on now. All right. Well, any final thoughts, Brian? Any final things before we close up?
Just going back to how you were here doing an amazing job from the youth that the Lord has led me here.
Thank you.
And talking about communion, and that's still unity, because we're that's us intertwining with God, being one with Him.
Yeah.
And how Pastor Ivor mentioned that.
That makes us one with each other.
Like, if we're not, if the church individually, because like me, I'm the church, you're the church.
Yeah, exactly.
Because God lives in us. If we're not one with Him first, we cannot be one with one another.
Come on now.
So, like, it still has to be self-reflection.
Yeah.
Like, am I in good terms with God?
Yeah.
Am I in good relation with Him?
Yeah.
Am I praying a prayer that's unselfish, not to just benefit me, but praying to Him because He deserves it? When I worship, do I do it because, like, I feel good, or because He deserves it?
Yeah.
And that causes that oneness. If we're like that,
yeah,
then the Holy Spirit in us is going to urge us to be one
with our one
brothers
another.
And sisters in Christ.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So like, it does have to start. It's still unity. It still has to start in one, but with Him.
Yeah.
And if everybody's one with Him, and then the Holy Spirit will do His work.
Yeah.
Okay, now link arms with your brothers and sisters.
Exactly.
You guys need each other.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so good. So good. All right. Well, thank you so much, Brian. I know we will definitely be sitting down. Yeah, we'll be sitting down. We'll be talking plenty more, especially here in the near future. We need a just me, you, Jeffrey, sit down, talk
one. Yes.
And just kind of talk about one ministries and the idea of
unity,
helping just to build that unity for young adults within the church. So, all right, man. Thank you so much. And definitely, we'll have to have you back on. Thank you for joining us for the In Hope podcast. Please subscribe and share to make sure we can keep getting out more content like this. The In Hope podcast is a small part of the ministry of In Hope, which is dedicated to help strengthening the unity of the body of Christ. You can support us in this by visiting inhope.tv to donate and following us on Instagram. Thank you. And we hope to see you on Instagram and back next week for another episode of the In Hope Podcast.